Light swirled around him. Illidan spoke a word of power. Fell energy surged. The temperature dropped. The air shimmered and congealed, and a fell hound materialized. Perhaps it was his imagination, but it bore a startling resemblance to the one that had killed his son, Kariel. The fellhound shrieked and bounded toward him, long tentacles bobbing. Jaws gaped wide, revealing teeth like a shark's. Vandel drew his runic daggers and leapt to meet it, the similarity of the beast to his son's killer stoking his rage ever higher. His blades stabbed forward at the tentacles. He writhed to one side to avoid the snapping jaws. His blades made contact, slicing the sensory stalks. The fellhound twisted, still attempting to bury its fangs into his flesh. His arm burned where the fellhound's jaws made contact. Razor teeth sliced his flesh. His thirst for vengeance had blinded him to the creature's surprising speed. He sprang backward and away. Something tingled at his back, and he found that he could not exit the circle. Magic imprisoned him, as if the very air had solidified. He flipped himself forward, and the demon's jaws snapped closed inches from his face. He smelled its brimstone breath even as he drove his blade up through the roof of its mouth, into the place where its brain ought to be. The fellhound tried to close its mouth, but the dagger was wedged between its jaws. The attempt merely drove the spellwound point deeper into its skull. A gasping wheeze passed through the creature's lips. It keeled over and lay there, tail lashing in a death spasm. Vandel looked over at Illidan, filled with the first faint surge of triumph. What next? He wondered. Illidan stepped into the circle, unhampered by any restraining spells. Illidan reached down, and with one clawed hand pulled the fellhound's still pulsing heart from within its chest. He presented it to Vandel. "Eat it," he said. This was not what Vandel expected. Looking at the disgusting mass of foul meat, Vandel considered refusing, but only for a moment. Something in the betrayer's stance told him that defiance was not an option. He instead took the heart in both hands. The demon flesh was wet and sticky beneath his fingers. What might have been veins dripped greenish, acidic ichor. His palms tingled and felt as if they were about to burn. He glanced around and saw, even through the shimmering air of the circle, that all eyes were upon him. Everyone waited to see what he did. Vandel raised the meat to his lips. He reached out with his tongue. It tingled and burned just as his hands were doing. He suspected that the flesh was saturated with fell magic. He bit into the moist meat and forced himself to chew. The flesh was tough, and he thought it squirmed as it came into contact with his lips. He swallowed, and it seemed to expand in his throat as if the demon, even in death, was determined to choke him. He gagged and swallowed again, trying to force it down. It was like having a slug slither down his throat. Illidan indicated the blood pooling around the corpse. "Drink it." Vandel bent down and, with both hands cupped, scooped up some blood. The tingling in his fingers increased. Nausea and dizziness made his head spin, but he managed to gulp down the foul liquid. It burned like rot-gut alcohol from a goblin still. Vandel wondered if it would poison him. His stomach rebelled. He wanted to vomit. To his horror, he felt as if something was kicking within his belly. He imagined the demon flesh coiling in his gut, trying to break free, gnawing its way out. Illidan chanted. Great spheres of greenish light orbited him, burning like shimmering emerald suns. They blazed with heat and magical power, and Vandel felt as if his skin would crack. Bolts of lightning leapt from orb to orb, forming a cage of crackling energy. Then, at a word from the betrayer, the bolts speared into Vandel. He screamed in agony as the magic saturated his body. His legs gave way, and he collapsed onto the ground, clutching his head, rolling over and over like someone whose clothes were on fire, trying to beat out flames. The pain was intense, and he knew in that moment that the betrayer was going to kill him. He looked up and saw Illidan standing over him, transformed. He no longer looked remotely like an elf. A dark aura crackled all around him, his form distorted and shimmering. Pure malevolence blazed in his eye sockets, visible even through the cloth covering them. Vandel felt as if he were falling forward into those pools of evil light, tumbling downward into an endless void. Strange emotions filled him. Rage burned in his heart. He reached up toward Illidan, wanting to choke the life from him. His body would not respond. His senses blended. He heard the sizzle of the green light, saw the words that Illidan chanted as perfectly formed runes. Beneath him he felt the pulse of magic flowing through the stones of the Black Temple, and he became aware that out of the void within him something was rising, something vast and powerful and evil that had come to devour his soul. The world shimmered and vanished. Chapter 9. 4 months before the fall. All around him, the village blazed. The leaves of the ancient trees shriveled. The gabled log houses crackled and burned. The smell of scorched pine needles filled the air. Sap bubbled within the wood, popping in the heat. He raced through the smoke-filled streets, shouting for his wife and child. In one hand he held his long hunting knife. Demons cavorted amid the ruins. Imps lobbed firebolts into blazing buildings. Massive infernals lumbered through the streets. Masked and armored Mo'arg waddled along, spraying anything they saw with magical fire from their weapons. On the roof beam of the central longhouse, the towering, winged figure of a dreadlord loomed. Ahead, Vandel saw his home, and for a brief moment hope filled his heart. Kariel's head thrust through the door. He seemed to be beckoning for his father. It all seemed so real, as if the 5 miserable years he had spent wandering had evaporated and he had been given a second chance to save his son. And yet he knew that this was not the case. As in a nightmare, he knew what was going to happen next. And it did. The little boy disappeared back into the house, his tiny fist the last thing to go. Vandel sprang over the threshold. Kariel lay there. His eyes were open, staring blankly at the ceiling. On his chest crouched a fellhound, gnawing at his flesh. The tiny silver leaf the child had been so proud of still glittered on his throat. The fellhound looked up at Vandel. Its stalked senses waved like the antennae of a huge cockroach. Kariel's blood stained its fangs. Seeing the little boy, only that morning so filled with life and laughter, cold and stark on the ground, sent a lance of agony through Vandel's heart. "Sweet, sweet pain." The voice came from somewhere deep within him. His heart felt as if it were breaking, his head as if it were going to explode. He could not endure this again. "But you will. Many, many times. And I will feast upon it as I devour your soul." There was an alien presence in his mind. The voice sounded like his own, but it was not. It belonged to something that looked upon all this horror, drank it in, and loved every instant of it. "Your horror feeds me. It makes me stronger." The fellhound moved toward him, tail lashing, distracting him from the voice. Its short legs carried it at surprising speed. Its mouth yawned to reveal sharp teeth. Vandel sprang to one side, avoiding the strike, wheeled and lashed out with his blade, cutting a bloody green wheel along the creature's side. Rage and hate drove the blow. The tear of flesh satisfied both. "Yes. Take your vengeance. Feed me." Vandel paused, shocked, and the fellhound almost got him. He sprang forward, tripped over the corpse of his wife, and rolled to his feet, back against the wall, as the demon bounded closer. It sprang. There was no way to avoid it. and a leapt to meet it, chest to chest, grasping its armoured throat with one hand, driving his blade into the spot where the fellhound's heart should be. The creature's sulphurous breath stank in his nostrils, its claws scrabbled against his chest, digging deep wounds, shredding his leather jerkin. Such delicious agony. The pain almost immobilized him, but he threw his weight forward. The fellhound toppled onto its back. He jumped astride its chest, pinning it to the ground. Taking the hilt of his dagger in both hands, he stabbed the demon again and again until its struggles ceased, and it lay still. Smoke filled the air. Weak from his wounds, Vandel lay on the ground. His head was next to Karael's. He reached out with long fingers and closed the little boy's eyes. Tears rolled down his cheeks. He could not move. He did not want to move. He would lie here until the flames turned his home into his pyre. Such nutritious grief. What are you? Vandel thought. The image of him devouring a still pulsing demon's heart flickered through his mind. You believed you were consuming me, but I am consuming you. For a moment, Vandel felt the demon's flesh burrowing outward through his own, fusing with it, even as he felt the demon's spirit merge with his. The reality of the burning village wavered. He looked up and saw Illidan at the grounds of the Black Temple gazing down upon him. He tried to shake himself free from the nightmare, but it returned, filling his mind, driving out all sense of being anywhere but in the ruins of his home, reliving the memory as if it were the present. A massive figure filled the doorway, blocking out the light of the burning village. A demon. Vandel struggled to his feet. It was one thing to burn to death. It was another to let an enemy kill him. He tottered forward, blade arcing down. Effortlessly, the intruder caught his wrist and, with a flick of his arm, tossed Vandel out of the house and into the street. He landed rolling and rose. Glancing around, he saw the other demons were all dead. Only corpses lay on the ground. His assailant turned, and Vandel saw that he was different. He appeared to be another night elf, albeit one taller than most and with demonic features. Glowing tattoos covered his body. The face of a fallen god looked down on Vandel, somehow able to see despite the strip of runecloth shielding where his eyes should be. To his horror, Vandel recognized this figure. Here was a being around whom dark legends clustered. "Illidan," he said, "betrayer. You are behind this." Vandel clutched his dagger tighter, gathered all his strength, and threw himself forward. It was a perfect thrust, expertly aimed. Never before had he struck a blow so pure. It had all the weight of destiny behind it. He was going to be the one who would end the betrayer's life. The tip of the blade touched the tattooed skin over Illidan's heart. A steely grip caught Vandel's wrist and halted it there. "I am not the enemy here," Illidan said. "I am going to kill you for what you have done." A bitter laugh emerged from Illidan's lips. "You will not be the first to try, but you are wasting your hatred. The Burning Legion did this." "You serve the Legion." "I serve myself." "You lie. You always lie." "So my enemies would have you believe." Vandel leaned all his weight forward. The blade did not move. Sweat beaded on his brow from the effort. Illidan gave no sign of feeling any strain. "Because of you, my family is dead." Grief forced the words from Vandel's lips. "Look around you. Do you see any demons? They are dead. I killed them." "Liar! I arrived too late to save this place, which galls me, for I have fond memories of it. I was happy here once, briefly, 10,000 years ago. Vandel formed his right hand into a fist and attempted to strike Illidan with it. "Liar!" Illidan blocked the blow easily. "I grow tired of your petulance. I thought there was some strength in you. It is not given to just anyone to defeat a demon armed only with a hunting knife. Are you going to lie there whimpering, or are you going to seek vengeance on those who did this? Join me, and you will have your revenge." Vandel stared directly at the betrayer's face. The runecloth made it impossible to read his expression. "I will never serve you. You have only two roads from this place. One of them leads to madness and death, the other into my shadow. Never." With casual strength, Illidan backhanded Vandel away. "The end of all things approaches, and I have no time to waste on fools. If you would have your vengeance, seek me out." Darkness flickered across Vendel's field of vision. The updrafts of the burning village drove smoke and sparks into his face. When his sight cleared, Illidan was gone, leaving Vandel alone amid the ruins of his suddenly shattered life. Mockery dripped from the demonic voice in his head. "He spoke the truth. You know that now. You knew it as soon as you had time to absorb your grief. You spent all the long years of your wandering trying to find him. Now you have. Too late for it to do you any good. You are mine, and I will have you." The scene shimmered. The village vanished. Vandel stood naked and alone in a tortured landscape. He had no weapons. In front of him stood the fellhound he thought he had killed, alive and well. Only one thing was different. It possessed the eyes of a night elf. It took him only a moment to realize that they were identical to his own. The creature stalked forward. Its movements were confident, those of a hunter that knew its prey couldn't escape, that was going to take its time toying with it. Vandel flexed his hands. They were empty. He glanced around, seeking an edged rock, a boulder, anything he might use as a weapon. There was nothing. Claws scratched the stone in front of him. The fellhound had taken the opportunity to close the distance between them. It reared up, huge mouth open wide. Vandel caught the jaws just before they could close on his throat. Their points slashed the flesh of his fingers. He scrambled for a purchase that was not razor-edged, inserted his fingers into the flap of flesh between gum and lip. His right hand was not so fortunate. It snagged on sharp teeth. The pain was agonizing. The tingling of the flesh, where demon saliva touched, did nothing to ease the torment. It seemed to amplify it. "This is not real," he told himself. "It is very real. And if you die here, in this spell-born dream, you die forever, and I will have your soul and your body. Already I have infected you. Already I can use your skills, your thoughts. Already I am so much more than I once was." He tried to pull the jaws apart, but it took all his strength to keep them from closing. The teeth sawed into his fingers. He knew it was only a matter of time before he lost this struggle. He lowered his head, trying to get it out of reach of the snapping jaws by resting it against the demon hound's short neck. The creature's claws bit into his unprotected chest, ripping strands of flesh free, tearing ribbons from muscle and rib. He knew he had only one chance. He let go of the beast's jaws, got his body underneath it, and raised it on high. It struggled frantically, trying to overbalance him. He held it above his head, then brought it down, snapping its spine across his knee. The fellhound thrashed, all control of its limbs lost. Vandel brought his foot down on its throat and crushed its windpipe until it stopped moving. Then, driven by an instinct he could not understand, he kicked open its squelching stomach, reached into its chest cavity, and pulled out its heart. He held it up, squeezed green blood from the ventricles into his mouth, and then devoured the meat. It tingled as it went down, but this time he felt he was gaining strength from it. The world shimmered and went dark. Nausea filled him. He fell forward over the body of his enemy. A wrenching, tearing sensation tugged at his bowels. He stood above his own corpse, where it sprawled atop the dead fellhound. Slowly, impelled by some external force, his spirit rose and drifted out into the blackness. He saw that Outland was but a tiny speck in the infinity of the great dark beyond. A tiny worldlet that floated in a void too vast for any mind to encompass. He became aware that all around him, in that void, were millions upon millions of worlds, teeming with life and glittering with promise. He focused on one and saw a golden land, bright with sunshine, where a carefree people harvested. Then he saw a portal tear open in the fabric of reality. Through that rent poured the unstoppable forces of the Burning Legion, invincible armies of demons bent only on destruction and slaughter. All of this had happened many years ago. Long before the Legion had ever reached Azeroth, it had smashed its way across countless worlds, destroying everything that got in its path. Its sole, relentless purpose was to kill. There were times and places where the Legion was halted, but it always came back, stronger than before. Sometimes worlds were not destroyed, they were conquered and incorporated into the Legion's structure, producing more soldiers to feed its unceasing war engine. He was not the only parent who had ever lost a child to the Legion. Every moment, somewhere, 10,000 children were killed by its unrelenting savagery. Images of innumerable dead worlds flickered through his mind. He saw gigantic ruins, toppled buildings that had once reached the sky, lakes of glass where proud cities had once stood, endless plains of rubble. He saw the lights of life in the universe winking slowly out until only a few remained. He never doubted the truth of what he was seeing. The Burning Legion left behind a trail of smoldering worlds in its wake. There was madness here on an incomprehensible scale. The Legion existed only to destroy. It would not stop until everything, everywhere was dead, and then it would turn on itself with all its savagery until nothing remained. It was a vision of unspeakable horror. The worst of it was that he knew now how strong the Legion was. Nowhere in all the worlds in all existence was any force capable of defeating it. "Now you know the truth. Join us." The voice was back. This time there was a wheedling, pleading note, but he sensed the same hunger lay behind it. Never. Reality shifted. He stood amid the shattered heart of a tower. A carpet of blackened bones crunched beneath his feet. A fellhound lurched forward, determined to kill him. He stooped, picked up a broken rib, and stabbed the demon through the heart. It was easier this time, and he felt stronger, as if each time he slew the beast, he gained part of its strength. Once again, he opened its chest cavity, drank its blood, and devoured its heart. A titanic vision smashed into his brain. This time, he saw not just one universe, but a near infinity of them. A complex fractal structure where new worlds were born each minute from the decisions made a heartbeat before. Everywhere the Burning Legion marched, destroying world after world. Every death narrowed the range of possible worlds till eventually all the multitude of possibilities narrowed to but a few. In every one of them, the Legion marched triumphant, leaving futures stillborn and presents empty of all life. He saw countless Azeroths, countless Vandels, and countless Kariels, and to every one of them came death. He saw his child die in an infinity of different ways, and in every one of those possible worlds he was powerless to prevent it. In every world, in every future, the Burning Legion strode, invincible, unstoppable, dooming the universe to eternal darkness in its wake. Behind it all, he saw the looming demonic figures of its leaders, Archimonde, who was believed dead by so many, killed Jaden, and above all others, Sargeras, the fallen titan once sworn to guard the universe, now bent on destroying it. On and on the visions roared, tearing through his brain, goading him to the edge of madness and beyond. And every time he saw one, part of him died, and the demon within him fed on his agony and gloated. He covered his eyes with his hands, but it did not stop the horrors from flowing in. He squeezed his eyes tight shut, but still he saw, and saw, and saw, until he could bear no more. Drowning in horror, He inserted his fingers into his eye sockets, feeling the blood flow and the jelly puncture beneath his nails. He pulled and pulled and pulled, straining against muscle and optic nerve until his eyeballs came free with a hideous sucking sound. At the last moment, before horror overwhelmed him, he realized this was what Illidan once saw. This was what had turned him into what he was. The betrayer had walked this path before him. This whole ritual was intended to recreate his experience. Pain seared through Vandel's skull. Darkness. Silence. Vandel woke in agony. He had no idea where he was. He could see nothing around him, only flickers of shimmering light. He reached up and touched his ruined face with fumbling fingers and found, as he had feared he would, that his eye sockets were empty. He had indeed torn out his eyes. Fear flashed through him. Was he alive? He could see nothing. Perhaps he had died in the aftermath of the ritual. Perhaps his soul wandered in that cold wasteland where it had drifted during its voyage. Fragments of memory returned to haunt him, shards of the terrible vision eating the demon's heart had given him. He could recall only a tiny portion of what he had seen. He was grateful he could not remember more. The mind was not meant to hold such a tidal wave of horror. He tried to stand upright but felt himself totter and fall. His head banged into the cold stone and sent tiny flickers through the darkness around him. He allowed himself to hope that perhaps it was his sight returning, but he knew it was not. He was blind, and he was useless. Mad laughter bubbled from his lips. He had wanted the power to kill demons. Now he could not even see. He had been filled with the desire to oppose the Burning Legion, and now he knew it was invincible. Hopelessness flooded through his mind. Somewhere deep inside him a demon was feeding. It took nourishment from his bleak mood and gloated over every crumb of wretchedness. He would have wept if he still could. He covered his empty eye sockets in despair. Chapter 10. 4 months before the fall. Guards in glittering chest plates, mounted on armored elek, watched Maiev approach impassively. Their tabards bore the sign of the Naru. She guessed they had looked upon far more imposing armies than her own. Shatrath was far and away the largest city she had seen in Outland, a rival in size for any of the great metropolises of Azeroth. The walls were so huge and thick, a procession of cleft-hoof-drawn wagons could have marched along behind the battlements, and Maiev would not have known. A huge tower jutted skyward, visible even over the monumental ramparts. Above the city, a range of mountains shielded the northern approaches. A massive flying beast passed overhead and descended beyond the fortifications. She needed some of those huge, sky-dwelling rays. Mounted on those, her troops could strike swiftly and be gone before their enemies responded. She dismissed the thought. If she could get such mounts, so could her foes. The battle would just move to a new arena. At least on the ground, her troops could hide beneath the eaves of the forest. It was something the Night Elves were suited to, and the Draenei and the Broken were learning. Not that these woods were much like home. Like so much else in Outland, they were alien. Huge moths fluttered loathsomely through the trees. Many of them were tainted by fell magic. The more she saw of this world, the more she realized it was saturated with evil, mystical energies. Perhaps it had something to do with the presence of the Burning Legion. She was certain of one thing. Outland was the perfect place for Illidan. It had everything he craved. He was at home here in a way a natural elf would never be. She stopped her teeth from grinding when she saw Anindra looking at her. She smoothed the frown from her brow and gave the signal to advance upon the gate. If the Draenei sentries were daunted by their approach, they gave no sign. They waited until the last moment to drop their lances across the entrance. It was a flimsy barrier. Her night saber could have jumped it, but that was not the point. "State your business in the city of Shattrath," said the sentry on the right. He was the senior of the two. "I have come seeking an audience with Adal." The Draenei's face remained impassive. "And your retinue also?" "Yes." She guessed that the fact that so many of her troops were Draenei worked in her favour. Or perhaps the guards were really just used to the sight of refugees. Her fighters were ragged from hard riding and hard fighting. Perhaps the sentries were just glad to see more troops enter the city. The guards raised their lances. Pennons fluttered once more in the wind. Maiev rode through the huge stone arch. As soon as she crossed the threshold of the city, she gasped. There was power here, ancient and benevolent. It was woven into the stones, transforming them into more than just a physical barrier against the minions of the Burning Legion. She sensed the pulse of vast energies from within the huge central tower that loomed over the city. "We are in the presence of the light," Anindra said. Whatever it was, she sensed it too. "Let us hope so," Maiev said. "Let us pray it is not some great deceit." Too often, evil wore the mask of benevolence. Wickedness cloaked itself in sanctity. It was easy to manipulate the gullible by such means. She considered that possibility long and hard. There had been times recently when she had thought that she would accept aid from Kil'jaeden himself if it meant the end of Illidan. She decided that even if these Naru were less benevolent than they seemed, it did not matter. If they would help her against the betrayer, she was prepared to make a pact with them. They rode through the wide streets of Shattrath. Her Draenei recruits pointed out the sights to one another and their Night Elf leaders. All of them had heard a great deal about the city, even if they had never been here before. Maiev supposed that it was to the Draenei of Outland what Darnassus was to her own people. It was impressive enough in its own way, although it was a place of stone rather than living wood. Like so many of the Draenei refugees it held, the city had a smashed look to it. She felt as if she was looking upon the patched ruins of a once mighty metropolis. The people around her fit their location. Many were ragged and hungry-looking. Several approached her with hands outstretched. A few were children. She had nothing to give such beggars even if she wanted to. It was hard enough to keep her own troops fed and clothed, and every coin was needed to fund their war. There were people from all over Outland. Broken, huddled in lean-tos by the side of the road. There were orcs here, which surprised her. She was not sure why. She was so used to fighting them, her hand itched to draw her blade. That urge was as nothing to the anger she felt when she saw a blood elf staring at her. She was not the only one who noticed. "Blood elves," Anindra said with a scowl. She felt the same loathing of these twisted elves as Maiev did. They had lost their fount of arcane magic when Arthas defiled the Sunwell and used its energies to reanimate the lich, Kel'Thuzad. Now they craved arcane power with an unappeasable lust. The blood elf's lips bent into an arrogant sneer, but he could not meet their gazes just the same. "We should pity them," Sarius said. He walked along beside them in his night elf form. "Their lives are twisted by their unnatural craving for magical power." "I do not think I could live if I became what they are," Anindra said. Sarius's smile was complex. "They were our kin once. Perhaps they could be again. They might be redeemed." Maiev stared at him. She should have expected as much. Sarius was a druid. They had strange ideas. "I do not think they want to be redeemed," Anindra said. "I think they enjoy being what they are." "How would you know?" Sarius asked. "Have you talked to any of them?"
"No.
I was too busy trying to stop them from killing me," said Anindra. Her tone was soft, and she smiled at the druid.
"As you should remember."
"I certainly healed the wounds." Sarius was smiling as well. There was a definite fondness between the pair. As long as it did not interfere with the performance of their duties, Maiev did not mind. As she rode, she noticed that more than one set of Sindori eyes tracked them. There was no love in those gazes. She wondered if the Blood Elves were spies for Kael'thas, and, through him, for Illidan. The sign of the crystal goblet hung over the street. The sound of music and revelry came from within. Maiev led her troops to the courtyard, and broken stable hands rushed out to greet them. They seemed confident enough with the Elec, but none of them wanted anything to do with the Nightsabers. A massive Broken emerged from the building. His eyes went wide when he saw the number of riders. She could almost see him counting the prophets. "Blessings of the light be upon you," he said. His horned head bowed. The long tendrils around his mouth drooped. He placed his hands together, fingers interlocked. "Welcome to the Crystal Goblet. You will find all to your satisfaction here." "I hope so," Maiev said. "Arakron spoke very highly of Alexius and his hospitality." The broken smile widened. "You have spoken to my cousin. You are thrice welcome. You will be wanting accommodations for your retinue?" "Only for myself, my officers, and a dozen or so bodyguards. The rest of my force will be encamped beyond the city walls." Alexius gave a small grimace of disappointment, then turned and bellowed instructions in Draenei. A small army of servants scurried off to prepare the best rooms in the house. "I would be honored if you would join me in my private rooms," he said. "I'm sure there is much we must speak of." Maiev thought she detected a note of urgency in his voice. Perhaps Arakron had already made contact. Messengers flew between Tellar and Shatrath on a regular basis. "Indeed, I'm grateful for your hospitality." Alexius's chambers were luxurious, furnished with rugs and mirrors and racks of wine bottles. He carefully selected one, blew dust off it, and showed it to Maiev as if it meant something. She had no idea about the differences between Draenei vintages, and she cared even less. "This was a very fine year," Alexius said. "A century before our world was broken, this bottle was laid down. When you taste this, you will be getting a taste of the old Draenor." She forced herself to smile as if she was interested and waited for him to uncork the bottle and pour. He sat there for long moments with the full glass under his lips, sniffing it with his eyes shut and a look of profound satisfaction on his face. "The scent always makes me think of my childhood." "You drank wine as a child?" "Sometimes with meals. But mostly it is just the scent. It makes me think of my father and mother sitting down to break bread with their kin." "This was before your world was shattered." He nodded, and his glowing eyes snapped open. "Yes, I am older than I look," he said, smiling to show that he knew how old he really looked. "It must have been a terrible time," Maiev said. She had found that the more she reminded the Draenei and the Broken of their suffering, the more likely they were to aid her against those they blamed for it. "A world shattered?" His tone told her that he thought her words a gross understatement. "Terrible hardly begins to describe it. We thought the world was ending. The sky burned. The continents ripped apart. Lava flowed. Wild magic danced from mountain peak to mountain peak. Sometimes the tips of mountains rose into the air and floated away. Sometimes they crashed down and killed thousands." "I have seen such things in Nagrand." "That is like comparing a pebble to a boulder, I am afraid." "You have been to Nagrand?" He nodded. "Business sometimes takes me to Tellar, and family responsibilities." His smile widened, and he placed his hands palms up on the table. "But you have not come here to listen to the meanderings of an old innkeeper. Arakron's letters have told me something about your quest. You seek the undoing of this new lord of Outland, this Illidan." He kept his voice low, as if even on his own property he feared being overheard. If he thought it wise, Maiev decided that it was worth doing the same.
"Yes. You have a very small army for such a large undertaking. Are you an expert in such things?" "I was not always a fat old innkeeper. I have fought. But I have never set myself against such a mighty enemy as you have."
"I have bested him before."
"Yet he is free now, and he has grown mighty. His agents lurk everywhere in secret. There are always those who will tell tales for gold. I would be careful of to whom I spoke if I were you, and even more careful what I spoke of.
I will bear that in mind. I was told that there are those here who might aid me. The Naru, for example.
They might, although I fear they have worries of their own.
Still, it would not hurt to ask.
That is so. She who does not ask does not get, as they say.
The Broken did not sound particularly hopeful about the success of her mission, but perhaps that was just his manner.
The Born from Light might help one they deem worthy.
Born from Light?
The Shatar. That is what their name means.
They are the Naru who were drawn to the ruins of Shatrath when they sensed the Aldor priests performing rites inside the rubble of one of their temples.
Arakron mentioned the Aldor.
As well he might. They are the servants of the Naru and of the Light. They are recruiting all they can find to oppose the Burning Legion. They would be grateful for any aid you could give them.
I have no doubts that theirs is a worthy goal, but I feel I can best serve the Light by overcoming Illidan. He is the greatest champion the Burning Legion has in Outland.
Is it not strange, then, that he seems to be at war with them?
It may be a deception, or it may be a temporary disagreement. He has fallen out with his demonic overlords before, only to worm his way back into their favor.
You know a great deal about it. I was his jailer for 10,000 years.
He must hate you.
And fear me too, I hope.
I do not doubt it, Alexius said.
Can you arrange for me to see the Naru?
You can walk in and talk with them in the Terrace of Light. They will know you are here by now, and they will sense the power within you and give you a hearing.
Is it that simple?
For you it will be, of that I have no doubt. Your war against the new Lord of Outland has not gone unremarked.
You said he has agents here. Would they be blood elves?
Perhaps, but I would not be too quick to rush to judgment if I were you. The Sindori here are sworn to protect the city. The Scryers look most unfavorably on those who aid your betrayer. They betrayed him themselves.
Did they?
They were sent by Prince Gelthas to lay waste to our city.
A mighty force they were, the best and brightest of Gelthas's army, mighty magi and scholars.
The Aldor braced themselves for defense, but the Blood Elves laid down their arms and asked for an audience with the Naru. It seems their leader, Vorenthal, had a vision. Only by serving the Naru would his people survive.
It might well have been a trick.
So many thought. But the Naru spoke with this Vorenthal and accepted his fealty. He and his people have served the city ever since.
A deception.
The Naru can see deep into the minds of those with whom they converse, and they are not easily deceived.
If any could do so, it would no doubt be Kaelthas. He is wily.
You speak with some bitterness.
I, too, once regarded him as an ally.
That is troubling.
Nonetheless, the Blood Elves of the Scryers' Tear would be the next faction I would suggest you seek aid from.
Maya felt her face redden.
I would rather seek aid from Fell Orcs.
The Broken's hand went to his mouth, and he stroked his drooping tendrils.
The enemy of my enemy.
You are not the first to suggest such a thing to me, but an alliance with the Sindori is a step too far.
That is a pity, for the Scryers are mighty sorcerers.
Mayo's fists clenched. The Broken realized his mistake.
I shall speak no more on the subject.
Perhaps that would be wise.
Maya felt a brief sting of regret. She had nothing to gain by alienating the innkeeper.
I appreciate the aid you have given me. I am a stranger here, and a friendly guide is without price.
We are all strangers in this world, Maya of Shadow Song. We must help one another.
Is there anyone else who might help me?
There is Khadgar, the Archmage, a trusted ally of the Naru. I believe he is from your homeworld.
Tell me of him.
Tales swirl around this one, and it is difficult to get at the truth. He is a human. A few of them have found their way to Shatrath. Some say he is a hero who sacrificed himself to close the dark portal between Azeroth and Draenor. Others claim he was an apprentice of Medivh, the guardian who was possessed by Sargeras.
That hardly seems like a recommendation to trust him.
The Shatar do.
I fear I cannot.
Then it is probably just as well that he is no longer in the city.
The Naru have dispatched him to the Netherstorm, or so I have heard, to investigate some strange appearances there. You are uncommonly well informed, Alexius. I am an innkeeper. We hear things, particularly when we keep our ears to the ground. I am glad that you have done so. Of course, I would be displeased to discover that you had been talking about my business with anyone else. Alexius looked wounded. You were sent here by my cousin. It would be a betrayal of all the laws of kinship and hospitality for me to do so. Of course. I just wanted to make sure we understood each other. Now you sound like my cousin. I can see why he liked you. So this is the Terrace of Light, I have thought. It was impressive in its odd way. The air shimmered. Crystalline notes sounded. Huge glowing blue crystals descended from the roof of the vast circular chamber. The scent of incense twitched her nostrils. At the center, over a massive stone dais, hovered a glowing entity of enormous power. The Naru. Its shape shifted constantly from one geometric form to another, but it returned most often to an outline that resembled that of a star. Hundreds of petitioners came and went, along with priestly servants who no doubt belonged to the Aldor. Robed blood elves, wearing the tabard of the scryers, stared at her. They did not look hostile, but they did not look friendly either. They seemed to be wondering what she was going to do. She made her way through the crowd, studying her surroundings. Above her, the giant domed roof of the terrace echoed back the sounds of prayers and petitions. It was some time before she confronted the Naru. She was grateful. It gave her a chance to become accustomed to its awesome presence. Adal shimmered like a chained sun. Unleashed, the Naru's power might destroy cities or level mountains. The full blast of its attention focused on her when she stepped forward to greet it. It was all she could do to prevent herself from kneeling. She kept her head high and glanced straight into its light. Maya felt as if the Naru was able to read her the way she might read an unfurled scroll. There was something about this being that made her feel like little more than a child. "Greetings, Warden Shadow Song," Adal said. The Naru radiated serenity. Its calm, pleasant voice seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere at once. Perhaps it was speaking inside her mind. "I am Adal. Elune shines on the moment of our meeting," Maya said. Adal said, "How can I aid you? You know who I am?" "Yes." "You know what I do?" "Yes." "I have come to Outland in search of Illidan. I mean to return him to his place of incarceration." "An ambitious goal." "Illidan styles himself the Lord of Outland now. He has the power to make good on that claim. Who are you to oppose him?" "One who held him bound for 10 times 1,000 years. A blink in the eye of eternity." Maiev's smile was rueful. "It seemed long enough to me." "As you mortals measure time, it was, no doubt. But not as the Naru do. We see these things differently from you. We have no bodies to age. We are beings of light." "Then you know Illidan must be opposed." "It is a task you seem admirably suited to." "It is the work of my life." "I can see that. And it makes me regret all the more that we have no aid to give you at this time." "What?" The word burst from her lips before she could stop it. "Alas, we too have a mission in this place. We oppose the Burning Legion. This is a task that takes all our resources." "But Illidan serves the Legion. Opposing him can only aid you." "At this moment Illidan opposes the Legion. He is its enemy. We take advantage of this to gather our strength." "At this moment he opposes the demons. While it suits him, when it no longer does so, he will crawl back to his masters on his belly as he always has." "Your hatred blinds you." "It is not hatred. I seek justice for those he has killed, for those he has betrayed, for those he will murder. You cannot tell me that you believe that Illidan is any better than the Burning Legion."
"You have no concept of the true nature of the Burning Legion, Warden Shadow Song."
"And you do?"
"We have opposed it for 1,000 times your lifetime. We shall oppose it until the end of all that is.
I need more than fine words if I am to bring Illidan to justice.
Unfortunately, words are all I have for you now. You must find your own path. You are not without allies here, even if you cannot see that. You can find more if you make the attempt. The chief magister of the Scryers waits to speak with you.
A blood elf?
One of your people.
The blood elves are not my people. They turned their back on my people long ago. We have nothing in common.
Save, perhaps, an enemy.
I will have nothing to do with those heretics.
That would be your choice. Maiev reined in her fury. She bowed and turned on her heel without waiting for Adal to terminate the audience. She heard gasps from nearby blood elves, which gave her some satisfaction. A tall blood elf in the tabard of a scryer moved toward her. He was most likely the one Adal had mentioned. She swept by him without giving him the opportunity to speak. It seemed that she still had some principles. There were those with whom she would not consider a pact, even to bring down the betrayer.
Chapter 11. 4 months before the fall. Vendel moaned and tried to sit up. His head spun. He stretched out his hands, trying to maintain his balance, but that just made things worse. He crashed back to the hard floor, smacking his head. His forehead felt wet beneath his questing fingers. He had cut himself again. Blood matted his hair from his previous attempts at rising. He dry heaved. The demon meat in his stomach was fighting its way free. The thought sickened him, and yet it also made his mouth water. All around he could hear screams and groans and babbling. Sometimes he recognized the voices of his fellow aspirants. Sometimes he thought it was all his imagination, that he was trapped in a private hell of his own making. The air stank of rotting flesh, gangrene, pus, and excrement. At regular intervals, the hooves of broken servants clattered on the stone floor as they cleaned the chambers and washed the sick. Twice they had swabbed him with sponges, and he had tried to force them away. All he wanted was to be left alone. Glowworms of color writhed across his field of vision. At first they had given him hope that he might be starting to see again. But now he thought his mind was playing tricks on him, pretending to see things whenever he heard others near.
Broken moon! Demon moon! Blood moon!
He knew that shouting voice from somewhere, but he was not sure from where.
Demons approach! A demon approaches!
Leathery wings snapped. Displaced air swirled around his face.
On your feet, Illidan's voice said. You have rested long enough.
It was the first time Vandel had heard the betrayer's voice since the ritual. He felt his lips tighten into a sneer. What is the point? I cannot see. I thought the same thing once, but now I can see to the end of the universe. It is closer than most think. Remembering the march of the Burning Legion through countless devastated worlds, Vandel understood the bitter humor of the betrayer's words. I know. Then you also know what we fight, and why. There was an arrogant certainty in Illidan's tone that Vandel resented. There was a challenge, too. The demonic thing within him stirred, responding to Illidan's presence with something like hunger. It lent Vandel strength and goaded him to speak. How can you fight against what I saw? It is impossible.
Impossible, 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 whispered the voice in the back of his head.
It still sounded like his own, only clotted with hatred. The fellhound had grafted itself to his soul, and its spirit seemed able to use his mind and his memories now.
Be quiet, Vandel told it.
He heard the creak of wings as Illidan moved. The betrayer ignored his words as if he sensed to whom Vandel was speaking.
We must fight. Countless worlds have fallen to the Legion, and ours will be next unless we stop it.
Fragments of apocalyptic visions swirled through Vandel's mind. He saw worlds burning and nations dying, and through it all he saw the Legion marching, its victory as inevitable as death.
The thing at the back of his mind snickered. "Be quiet," he repeated, but it ignored him. "Stand up," Illidan commanded, and there was no disobeying that voice. Even the thing in Vandel's mind quailed. He lurched to his feet and stood there, swaying. His stomach heaved. The world spun once more. A clawed hand dug into his shoulder and held him upright. Writhing worms of light shimmered beside him, slithering away from the point of contact. "I cannot see," Vandel said. "You can see everything." Vandel's head spun faster. Lights flickered all around him. He lashed out with his hand, seeking to strike at the lights. They moved away. Rage surged within him. The worms of light were everywhere, covering everything. They filled the space surrounding him. He heard a whimpering sound from a mass of sickly green, knew it was a feverish elf. He twisted to where Illidan stood, and he saw a blaze of light. If he looked closely, it appeared to be a winged shape. "You tricked me, betrayer. You told me you would give me the power to fight demons, to avenge my family." His anger was a bonfire as bright as Illidan's aura. It gave him strength. Hatred tasted like bile in his mouth. He wanted to smash his fists into Illidan's face and beat him till the bones broke. He wanted to drink his blood and eat his heart and be filled with the power that burned before him. The dizziness was gone now. He had no trouble moving. He wished he had his blades. "I have given you all that, and more." The blaze of Illidan's aura moved. Vandel turned his head, tracking it, and he realized that he was also tracking the source of the voice. This did not make him less angry. Frustration built up in him. He wanted to rend and tear. He bit his lip until blood flowed. He was going to kill the betrayer. He was going to supplant him. He sprang forward. He heard a rustling sound. His fist smashed into something leathery but lined with bone. A wing. Illidan's wing. A moment later, it buffeted him from his feet. He hit the ground and rolled toward another swirling mass of light. He felt the contact of flesh when he reached it, heard a feverish voice groan. No doubt about it. In some way, he was perceiving where things were. He sniffed the air, smelled soiled bandages, unwashed flesh, and beneath that, the tainted odor of demon, repulsing him and arousing his hunger at the same time. He wanted to feast upon it. He dived forward, jaws clamping on the sick elf's arm. A powerful hand caught him by the neck and lifted him like an elf might lift a nightsaber cub. Illidan said, "Enough. You must learn to control that which lies within you, or it will control you." Rage goaded Vandel to aim an elbow backward. Once again he felt himself cast across the room. Air rushed by. He sensed the cold presence of the wall before he hit it, and he let himself go limp. The impact hurt, but not as much as it ought to. He rolled once again to his feet. The betrayer was keeping him from his prey. Vandel coiled his muscles to leap. Illidan's aura became sharper, its greenish-yellow light blazing. Motes of it swirled in the air around him, shifting into new patterns as the betrayer moved his fingers and arms. Vandel realized he was seeing fell magic being bound to Illidan's will as he drew upon its power. A moment later, a bolt of it leapt from Illidan's finger and impacted on Vandel's chest. Strength drained from his body like wine from an upended goblet. The dizziness returned, multiplied a thousandfold. He crashed into the stone at Illidan's hooves, rage departing in proportion to his strength. He felt like himself once more, but he understood now what he was seeing, what had happened to him. "The demon I devoured. It is still within me, is it not?" "Yes," said Illidan, "and it wants to be free." "How can I control it?" "You take the first step along that road today. Walk with me."
"Why?"
"Why what?"
"Why are you here? Why are you helping me?"
"Because you know who the true enemy is, and you have the potential to be a great hunter of demons. I saw that the day your village burned. I see it now. I will have need of fighters like you before the end." Still dizzy and weak, Vandel forced himself to his feet. His true foes were the innumerable forces of the Burning Legion, which even now prepared to strike at his home world. He stood for a moment calming his mind, listening for any internal voice that was not his own. He heard nothing, but he knew that didn't mean anything. He did not doubt that the demon was still in there waiting for the opportunity to break free once more. He was aware now of the